We started a series, I started a series with you last, 2 weeks ago, based on the book of Pastor Bailey, Preparing for Revival. I believe it's time for us to really stress and emphasize the vision of the forthcoming revival. Kailangan na po natin talagang medyo seryosohin ito. Because things are not getting better in the world today. And we really need so much strength, you know, to go through. You know, the images of war and the images of suffering that has been coming to us by way of the internet, particularly this last week, you know, it really gives your heart. You know, I weep inside of me as I see, you know, these youngsters, even the older ones, but most the youngsters, you know, who are so, like, traumatized, you know, and scared, frightened. You know, look at their faces, so frightened. You hear of reports like the ISIS, you know, crucifying people in Iraq. Crucifying people. And I don't think I can handle that, so I did not go to the site. If you want to see, you know, one site, the Nativia site, actually. You know, Brother Shulam said, if you want to see this, you know, you go for it, then there's the link. And I didn't dare. Hindi ko po tinignan yun sapagkat hindi ko kakayanin yun. So, even more than that, I'm convinced, you know, that we need to prepare ourselves for the darker days ahead of us. Now, without the Word of God and without the assurance of victory, we will live in hopelessness. Tayo po ay mabubuhay sa kawalang pag-asa. With all the things that are happening to us, you know, this kind of news, wars, and devastations, natural calamities, you know, taking place everywhere. You know, man-made calamities too, by the way, political decisions that even make life harder. Wala ka nang masulingan na parang yung pag-asa mo ay aalis na. And yet we know that we have the hope and we have the victory and we can reign and rule with Christ even now in the Spirit. Amen? We can rule and reign with Christ. With abundance of grace, Romans chapter 5 and 17, the abundance of grace that God so affords us, as well as, you know, the grace that to live in righteousness, we can still be on the throne with Christ and be an overcomer today. As we shall be an overcomer, you know, with Him someday and rule and reign with Him for eternity. Thank God for those promises. Thank God that the word of the Lord is sure. The promises of God is there. I wish we were done. We were done singing today, but there's a song that's ringing in my heart. I'll invite sister again to come. Let's sing the song, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. We need the vision of Christ. We need the vision of revival, you know, of victory in the midst of suffering. So please bear with me with this one song. And before that, let me read to you the text for today, Exodus 5 and 1. After Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Still at Exodus chapter 7 and 16 now. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you. Sing, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Father, as we consider your word today, to meditate on it, Lord, and bring from your spirit, O Lord God, a living word of life, we pray, Lord, that our eyes, our spiritual eyes, Lord, will not be obscured. Lord, it will not be blurred, O Lord, by the things of this world, that it will ever be kept cleared, O Lord God, clear of the things that you have for us today and for eternity, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to receive from you, O Lord God, a fresh word, a now word, O Lord God. As we consider, O Lord God, the words, O Lord, your word, the word that came from you, let my people go. Let there be freedom and deliverance, O Lord God, from the things that bind us, Lord, today. Father, free us, your people, O Lord, that maybe, Lord, we have the freedom and the liberty to serve you more and more, O Lord God. Lord, lift us. Lift up, O Lord, our vision, O Lord God. Let us see, Lord, beyond what is happening and taking place in our surrounding, O Lord, in our nation, and even in the nations of the world. Let us be so drenched, O Lord God, with the hope that comes from you alone, Lord. Help us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let my people go. Let my people go. 2 weeks ago, I dealt on the topic, O Lord, revive your work. How we need revival to strengthen us today for the sufferings that may come upon the nations of the world. For indeed, sins are here. You know, the human nature has not changed after so many centuries of development and technology that we have today. Ganun pa rin po ang tao. Ang mga tao ay covetous pa rin, thievery, robbery, violent, drunkenness, and idolatry, lalo na po. Ano, technology has not changed, you know, human beings. Only the Word of God, only the salvation that is in Christ that we just sung a while ago. And so we need to pray. We need to make intercession. We need God to speak to us about the hindrances. And today we'll be talking more of that. The hindrances has to go. Thank God for Pastor Arjun's message last week, Undefeated. Hallelujah. You know, I heard that you really enjoyed, you know, the message last week, and hope that, you know, this is a continuation of that one. Hallelujah. In the past decades, at least in the last 50 years, we have seen the nations breaking free from different regimes, be it communist, authoritarian, race-discriminating regimes. You know, in our time, sa ating panahon, we've seen how former prisoners have become rulers of nations. And if you're a reader of history, perhaps you would know what I'm talking about. There were certain prisoners before who, when they were freed, became, you know, leaders of their nations, presidents of their nations. Unprecedented things happened to nations in the last 50 years. So many of the nations have experienced natural or physical freedom. And I believe we can learn, you know, from them. We can learn from the experiences, from our own experiences, not necessarily endorsing, you know, anti-government protests and things like that. But as it is in 1 Corinthians 15:46, first the natural and then the spiritual. Surely we can learn, you know, from what had happened from nations who got freed from authoritarian regimes, authoritarian rulers. But today God wants to speak freedom, spiritual freedom for us, the church, and of course as well for the nation. So in dealing with this, I'm dealing with spiritual freedom as the Lord would give us today through the book of Exodus. The Lord desires to prepare our hearts for revival. You know, we need personal revival. We need also family revival on that level, and then church revival. And hopefully when the church is alive and the church is doing its part, then our nation will experience spiritual revival from Batanes down to Sulu. But before that to happen, God must be allowed to deal with hindrances for revival that are inside of us. Inside of us. Now, before revival, you know, broke full force, at the time of King Josiah, they found the book, the word of the Lord, the book of the law, inside the temple. And in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 4, when they found it, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. They took hold of the word, the book of the law, you know, and they trembled, you know, as they read, as Shaphan, the scribe, read the word before King Josiah. They were trembling, and the fear of the Lord caught their hearts. And they said, what we are doing, what we are allowing is not right. The word of the Lord must touch our heart. It must grip our heart to show us the things that are hindering personal revival to take place. Nawa ay hawakan ng salita ng Diyos ang ating puso at bigyan tayo ng linaw ng mga espiritual na mga mata para makita natin ano yung mga bagay na pumipigil para ang revival ang mangyari sa ating buhay. Then after that is dealt with, then we can begin to deal with the outside bondages and hindrances we are facing. Then we can be more effective, you know, in taking the fight against the enemy of our nation. We're not talking basically of people, but spiritual forces of darkness that try to blind the eyes of people that they cannot see the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These outer bondages are expressed in the words that God spoke through Moses, which I've read a while ago, Exodus 7 and 16. Let my people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. You know, we need to give notice to powers of darkness and say to them, let the people go. Let the Filipino people go in the name of Jesus Christ. We set them free in the power of Christ's name. And even as a prophecy would come to us today, as we join ourselves to what is dear in the heart of Christ, as we draw ourselves and join Him, you know, in what interests God today, His desires for the nation, for the church today, then we can also join later on in His triumph. We can later join in His triumph. You know, our faith is a triumphalist faith, but it is a peaceful faith. We do not draw out guns or swords to kill people, just to have them submit to our faith. No. But Islamic faith is otherwise. No. Convert to Islam or die. I'm talking of the extreme militant Islam. They are, of course, the moderate ones. You know. But that was the beginning of that religion. In 622, they conquered and conquered lands and subdued lands in the name of their God. And that's how they grew. Now, this spiritual freedom can be understood by studying the steps by which the Lord delivered His people from the bondage of Egypt. So, first section, I'd like to deal with the steps to deliverance. First, we need a revelation to see what is binding us. What is binding us. And last 2 weeks I mentioned about idolatry, about thievery, about covetousness, drunkenness, idolatry, which was prevalent at the time of Prophet Habakkuk and still is today. As I said, man has not changed. Tulad ng sinabi ko, hindi nagbago ang tao. Yung mga kasalanan ng tao noon, siya pa rin kasalanan ng mga tao ngayon, immoralities, things like that. We first need a revelation of what is binding us. There are powers that be that we do not say, and they put men and nations in bondage. And if we are not careful, even we Christians can, you know, be in bondage. So whether on a personal, local, or national level, we are not ready to deal with a spiritual bondage until we say what is binding us, what has bound us. There might be a bondage in my life, in your life, a problem in our family, or something that's binding our church that we ought to be delivered from. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 26:18, we have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Isaiah paints a picture of Israel in captivity, who pours out her heart to God in prayer and in supplication, and like a woman giving birth, you know, yet have not brought true deliverance. Why? Because they themselves were in bondage in Babylonian captivity. Isaiah saw them in bondage in Babylonian captivity. But in contrast to that, may we have prayers that will be heard on high and be used by God to deliver communities and nations. But in order for that to happen, we need to identify what is bothering us or binding us sa ating buhay po na personal. Ano yung bagay na nakatagapos sa atin kaya hindi tayo lumalago sa ating buhay spiritual? What is it that is binding us and keeping us, hindering us to grow in Christ, to grow in the Spirit? In Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our enemies can see us, we cannot see them, but we can know who they are and what they are. We can know by the discernment, by their manifestations in our life, kung ano po ang kanilang kilos, ano ang kanilang nature, and we can bind and cast them out. So as we have already recognized, acknowledged, determined what is binding, as a second step is to cry out to God because of our bondage. We need to cry out to God. We need to cry out to God. We've been crying out to God for the deliverance of our nation. And somehow, there have been answers to our prayers. You know, we're not what we were used to be 5 years ago as a nation. You know, so there have been some advances in the spirit realm. And yet we know that the nation is also ripe for judgment. For the Lord continues to warn us, for the church to repent for the sins of this nation. And that we are trying our best to do that. Even though sometimes there are only 2 people in our prayer meeting, we continue to pray. Imagine 2 people praying on a Sunday, on a Friday night. But there they are holding the fort for all of us. In the bulwark of intercession, leading us. Happily they're just saying to the Lord, Lord, there are 2 people praying here. You know, we're standing guard, watching. In Exodus 2:23, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Naghihintay ang Panginoon ng iyak sa ating puso ng panaghoy, ng tunay na pananangis, na sisigaw, Lord, deliver mo ako sa aking mga kasalanan. Alam ko ako'y ligtas na, ngunit hindi ako mabuhay ng malaya. Mayroon akong kabigatan, mayroon akong pagkagapos, and I want to be set free before God can use our church out there to bind the forces of darkness for this nation. We need to be set free. Exodus 3:7, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, God speaking to Moses, and have heard their cry because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. God can see the sorrows of humanity all over the world. Therefore, we must call upon the Lord, as nothing will start if we do not start crying to God ourselves. We must call upon Him as we know that this is the time of deliverance. In Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 to 4, the Lord instructed the angel to put a mark to those that will mourn for the abominations. For the abominations that are being committed in the midst of God's people. In verse 4, Ezekiel 9 and verse 4, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. If an angel will be summoned today and be commissioned to put a mark on people who are mourning for abominations, will the angel come to us and put a mark on our foreheads Will we be chosen? Meron ba tayong kabigatan sa mga nangyayari sa mundong ito? Even some sufferings are taking place far away from us, but we cannot separate ourselves from it. The most especially with what's happening in Israel, we cannot detach ourselves from it. Or even what's happening in Iraq, in Syria, in Libya, we cannot detach from it. For God has given us a commission to pray, and to pray, and to pray, not only for our nations, but for the world. My house shall be called the house of prayer, not just for the Philippines, but a house of prayer for all nations. We try as much to do that. You know, here in church, we pray for Israel, but we pray for the nations. We are concerned of what's going to happen to the ASEAN, you know, to Asia, South Asia, North Asia, East Asia, and then to Europe, and even to the Americas. We're concerned with that because we are the people of God. If an angel will be commissioned today and sent out by the Lord from his throne, see, and say, mark out those who are mourning for the abominations in the world today, will we be chosen? Will we be chosen? Tayo ba ipipiliin ng Diyos? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is blessedness when we mourn for the sin of our own people and the sin that are very rampant in the world today. Are we holy mourners because of the wickedness in the church and in the nation? I refuse to be angry. I refuse to be angry when part of the church would preach hyper prosperity and lavish themselves with extravagance and luxury. When the suffering church in restricted access nations have even nothing, on their back. I refuse to take angry. And I refuse to be angry. I said to myself, I have my own set of sins. But you know, that is the case today. There is that part of the church that are living in luxury and extravagance. And there's that part of the church that does not even have, food to eat in the next hour. Thinking about it will make you weep. How can some Christians lavish themselves with so much luxury and live in vanity when there are nations, when there are churches in other nations that need the money in order to propagate the Word of God and also to exist physically. Number three, we need to have the word of the Lord to declare. For deliverance to take place, we need to have the word of the Lord. Because God gave Moses a word for Israel. Exodus 3 and 8. This was God's appearing to Moses in Mount Horeb. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. God gave that word to Moses for Israel. God wanted to free them. And God gave Moses a word for the enemy. I read that already, Exodus 5:1. Let my people go. Exodus 7:16. Let my people go that they may serve me. And these are clear messages. Maliliwanag na mga mensahe po ito. We need the word of the Lord. Why do we need the word of the Lord? Because the word of the Lord is the sword of the Spirit. The Lord will quicken his word. You may use verses in the Bible. Or the Lord may quicken a word in our heart. He might place a word in our heart for us to speak that word. The word of the Lord is the truth that becomes the weapon to use against the enemy. And the Word of God says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. To the degree that we are obedient to Christ, the same degree is the effectiveness of our warfare and prayer against the enemy. Sometimes the word of the Lord may come in a form of a vision that we need to prophesy. In his book, Preparing for Revival, Pastor Bailey was given a vision by the Lord when he was in Cape Town in South Africa. A vision of two violent winds. You know, and he had a discernment that the first was political wind, and that would be the breaking of the segregation, you know, of races in South Africa. That would be called the apartheid. And it happened. It already happened. That was broken. At the time of the presidency of de Klerk, F.W. de Klerk, at that time, he just let Nelson Mandela free. And you know, the rest is history. If you were able to watch the movie Invictus, that's part, you know, of what happened in South Africa. I think they became world champions during that time. And the second is a spiritual, violent wind in Cape Town. You know, the second is spiritual, and that has, you know, to take place, I believe, yet. But in the Bible, we have Ezekiel, you know, a vision of Ezekiel, the dry bones, in Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel was told to prophesy to the dry bones. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In Christ, hopelessness is turned into hope. There's no hopelessness. Once the word of the Lord has come, life has come. Victory is about to come. After that he had spoken to the dry bones, then they were shaken, and then sinews, flesh were given to them, and finally breath were given to them, and the word of God says, they became a mighty army. And that's how powerful the word of the Lord is. You know, we can pray so much prayers, so much words, and God will listen to our words. But something happens when a word is given by us, by God to us, from the very throne of God. That becomes a mighty sharp sword of the Spirit that when unleashed in prophecy, do much harm against the enemy. And on the positive, it's creative. It creates something in pursuit of the purposes of God. And so oftentimes, we need to wait. We need to patiently wait for the word of God. And that's where faithfulness in attending prayer meetings come in. Doon pumapasok yung katapatan ng pag-attend sa mga pulong panalanginan natin. You know, sometimes, nawawalan tayo ng gana dahil wala naman nangyari. Nag-pray lang kami dun. Ang tagal. But God takes note of our faithfulness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for revival. Like a dry land, they shall be soaked in the water of revival. And God is looking for hearts that will say, Lord, I am dry. I need you. I need revival. I need you, Lord. Honest hearts that will plead before God and say, Lord, my prayers are not effective. Help me, Lord. I want to be useful for you. King David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, And he inclined to me and heard my cry. Days he would sat, minister to the Lord, and wait, and wait, and wait. We're used to coming to prayer meetings, you know, mouthing words to God. Sometimes we need just to be quiet and let God speak to our hearts. And that is not a waste of time. Coming to a prayer meeting is not a waste of time. It is a precious time in the sight of God. And our prayers can change people's lives, communities, and nations. If we will just but be sacrificial and not selfish, and be freed from our attachments to the things of the world, from television and the internet and all of this, God may use us to pray the right prayer that will deliver many. It may be that a word of promise may come, as in Psalm 102 and 13, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the Satan has come." It may be that we will hear over and over again the very same prophecy that was given to us 2 weeks ago. Arise, awake. Why would God speak to us repeatedly? Because we are not hearing Him. We are not hearing Him. Somebody complained to me in our church, you know, all that's being said is about Zion, going up to Zion, was complaining to me. And I said, you know, and God spoke to my heart. And the reason why, and there's not only one pastor saying that. There were, you know, multi-pastors din sila. And God spoke to my heart, you know. And the reason why God is repeating His message is your hearts are hardened and you are not listening to what He's saying. God is speaking to the church, mature, go up to Zion, and you would not hear. You would not listen. And it is the grace and mercy of God that He's repeating Himself to you. If messages are repeated from this pulpit, know that it is the grace of God. We don't confer. We don't talk to each other. We don't say, "This is going to be my message. Please follow it up next week." It is only today that I learned last week's message, undefeated. What, you know, an encouragement. Let's stay undefeated. Number four, we need to have the assurance of His presence and power of His name. If I'm going to fight the enemy, I need to know that God is with me. You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, whose name you have defied. What a power, what an assurance that we are able to take down our enemy because we have not sent ourselves, but God has sent us. In Exodus 3 and 10, God told Moses, "I will send you. I will send you." Why do missionaries go to restricted access nations and endanger their lives to persecution or being caught by the police and with, you know, the pain of physical beatings perhaps? Why would they do that? Because they know that God is with them. It doesn't matter what happens, just as long as God was with them. In Exodus 3 and 10, God repeats Himself, "I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you." In 1999, the second time that I was supposed to go to India, I was scared. Why? Because the devotions that I'm getting were all about persecutions. Why is this, Lord? I was not telling Linda. Hindi ko sinasabi kay Linda. But, you know, in that place where Zion Mission was, it was a place that was hostile, you know, to the gospel. other parts of India, there are, you know, masses and masses of Christians, but the northern part of India is hostile to the gospel. And I've been there the first time. Second time I was going, but the Norman asked me to go to help, you know, for 2 weeks there. And then my devotions were all about persecutions. And I said, Lord, what's going to happen in India? And I made a deal with the Lord. And I said, Lord, okay, but please let me come home, you know, complete. Not just a survivor, but an overcomer. Then I'm willing, Lord. So be it. So when I was about to get my visa from the Indian embassy, you know, it was already noon time, and I thought I was at SM Makati. Thought I called up Brother Norman, and I said, "Hi, Brother Norman." Brother Norman said, "On the other end, did someone tell you to call me up?" "No, I've been looking for you." He said, "I've been hunting for you, and only to tell me you're not going anymore." "Why?" I said, "I'm about to pick up my visa from the embassy because they've just burned an Australian missionary and two sons, the children inside." You know? And everything after that, the conversation became blurred because I was already asking the Lord with Brother Norman on the phone, "Lord, why?" I've gone through all the fast of, you know, going to the embassy. Money had been raised, you know, for my faith, and the Lord just said to me, Genesis 22, Abraham's test, Isaac. And right there, the peace of God came upon me. Okay, Lord. God was testing me. God was testing me. We need to have the assurance of His presence. And when Brother Dennis, our team, was caught in China, the same prayer I said, "Lord, one piece. We go home in one piece. Let us come out of this victorious." And by the grace of God, because of your prayers, don't you know, at that time, even someone from Vienna emailed me from Vienna, all the way from Vienna, and she said, "We prayed for you, Pastor Edwin. You know, thank God, you know, for technology." Imagine that. People are praying around the world for us. We need your prayers every time we travel. In verse 13 and 14, God gave Moses His authority to use His name. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is His name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And He said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent you.'" What does this mean to us? We need to have a fresh revelation of Jesus' name, the name that is above all names. When we fight the battles of the Lord, we need to have come out, you know, of meeting with Him. And we know that Jesus has clothed us with power in His name. Go for it, guys. Go for it. Use my name. They're going to crumble down. And that was, you know, Moses' situation. He had God's name. He had the presence of God and the power of His name with him. And the enemy will tremble. In the book of Acts, in chapter 19, there were the sons of Siva, the seven sons of Siva, and casting out demons. You know, and they were just quoting Jesus' name. You know, by the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. And the Spirit says, "Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you?" And they attack them. And therefore we need to have that assurance of God's presence. We cannot just presume. And by the way, we don't just simply pick a fight from the enemy. We pray. You know, how to conduct the prayer. We pray. What is the timing of the prayer? We pray. God is the one who strategizes and gives us the go signal. And finally, we need to be persistent in confronting the powers of the enemy. Because after that, Moses and Aaron confronted Pharaoh to let his people go, he didn't let them go. Instead, you know, what resulted was heavier burdens on the part of the Israelites. Exodus 5 and 6. The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall not no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." And this also can happen to us when we confront, you know, spiritual enemies. It's a scary thing to say, but, you know, we can say it anyway. The enemy counterattacks. The enemy counterattacks. Those of us who have little experience in spiritual warfare, we know that. The enemy counterattacks. And sometimes, you know, we wait in animosity that we don't know what hit us. And so we need to take great care that we are not fighting or picking a fight with the enemy. That indeed the commission of the Lord has come to us. So when we persistently in the spirit confront the enemy, the same thing can happen. You know, they can counterattack. But we need to understand that God had ordained the battles that we will fight. And therefore we can say that there is the potential to always overcome if we will do it right. Because God purposes included these battles. Kasama po yung mga digmaan na yun. What would happen to Moses, you know, within that period of confrontation, he could have been, you know, discouraged because Pharaoh would not let go, had not for the fresh word that keeps on coming to him from the Lord. The word of the Lord sustained Moses. He knew. He had a mission to undertake. And then the word of the Lord just kept on coming to him and refreshing him. Fast track ko po ng konti. Section 2. Know the power in the blood of Christ. And so God inflicted Egypt with 10 plagues. And the last plague was the death of the firstborns. And the firstborn of the Egyptians died, but Israel was protected by the blood. Yun ang nagprotect sa Israel, yung dugo. In Exodus 12 and 12, the Lord said to Moses, "I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague that shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." We need to make much of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because we are confronting the enemy. You know, and he is so powerful against us. We need to do everything under the covering of the blood. You know, it is not just a ritual to say, "Lord, cover us today. Cover us today with the blood of Christ." Now, every time we go out, every time we travel, whatever we do for ourselves, for our children, for our properties, for our ministries, Lord, cover us with the precious blood of Christ. There is great power in the blood. Without the blood, we cannot defeat the enemy. It is the efficacious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. Its power is still around today. If we are in the right relationship with Christ, if we are growing in faith, and then we use the power of the blood, the enemy will crumble down. Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." The blood and the word goes together. "And they did not love their lives to the death," submission to the point of death. So the power of the blood in the land of Egypt saved the entire nation. Pastor Bailey talks of a pastor who was being opposed in a community. And so he gathered his church, he gathered his leaders, and they declared, "In the name of the Lord Jesus, with the authority of his blood, we bind the strong man from stirring up opposition against your church." What happened was the group of people who were giving them trouble had, you know, division, these arguments, And so they disbanded. That's the power of the blood. Section 3, everyone must take a choice to stay in freedom. And after Pharaoh released the Israelites, his heart was hardened once again, and he ran in pursuit of Israel. And Israel was very much afraid. So how can you not be? They have been terrorized all their lives. For now, there is this prospect of freedom, and now bondage, you know, is after them. And in their distress, they resented Moses for leading them out of Egypt. They resented Moses for doing that. And they wish that they had never left Egypt. When troubles come and the questions of the attitude of the children of Israel, they want to return to the world, saying, we should have stayed in the world. It was much easier there than serving God. How soon we forget what the Lord had done to us. Great things God had done to our life. And sometimes in a moment of trouble and despair, we can forget the tremendous victories and miracles that God, you know, had already given us. And in fear and in discouragement, we say how we wish, you know, we were still in the same kind of life. And Paul, you know, brings this out among the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 11 and 20. In the NIV version, in fact, to even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. Then Pastor Billy again tells of a story of a lady that would not want to be delivered. 60 demons, you know, came out of this lady. And there were still some more. And the people who were delivering the lady came to Pastor Bailey and wife, Sister Audrey Bailey, and said, would you come and help us? And so the couple came, you know, with them. And more breakthroughs took place until there was one more demon inside. You know, and the problem was the lady was not willing to let go of the demon. You know, and her testimony was, I could have been delivered tonight, but I wanted to hold out to my bondage. It may be that we have noticed it, you know, that we are clinging to our bondage. We're not wanting to let go. We're not wanting to let go of unforgiveness. We relish the feeling of having a grudge over a person. That's a bondage. That's a kind of bondage, by the way, that will lead you to hell. Unforgiveness. And you would not want to embrace that all your life. You need to let it go. After a seminar in Cebu, one lady approached me and said, you know, it hurt so much what the brother did to me. And it was, you know, she knew. Most of those who are unwilling to forgive, they know it is sin to not forgive. What did we say? I forgot what we counseled, Linda and myself counseled with her. We prayed for her. We said, you know, forgiveness is a choice. It is not the feeling. When you step on the path of forgiveness, you're obeying the word of God. Whatever you feel inside does not matter so long as you are following the will of God. We told her. It hurts so much. Every time I see the brother who hurt me, who yelled at me, who spoke things that are not right to me, it hurts me. We said, don't cling to that. You know, and you know, I really scared her. If that unforgiveness grows, it will lead you somewhere but heaven. And so hopefully, you know, she got scared. So we need to come to a point of decision. Joel 3 and 14 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decisions. Pastor Bailey's illustration in this is that he asked the Lord, you know, because, you know, in his younger years, more and more nations in Africa were getting their independence. And it was prompted by the Lord to ask, "Why, Lord? Why are you giving independence to these nations?" And the Lord's response was, "So that nations might choose between the Christ and the Antichrist." Nations will not have an excuse because we were just under these nations, you know, captivity. Therefore, we have no choice. Every nation on planet Earth will have to make a choice in the future whether they will choose Christ or the Antichrist. And every individual will have to make a choice. Every Christian will have to make a choice. It's either you go to the Holy of Holies or you go out to the outer court. Which path will you take? Is it the forward or is it the retreat? We need to make a choice. I'm going all the way with you, Lord. I'm going all the way with you. Just Lord, step by step, by your grace, I will overcome. And finally, section 4, God's purpose is to absolutely destroy the enemy. Exodus 14:13. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Of course, this is God's ultimate purpose, the absolute destruction of our enemies. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. There is no other direction but go forward. For us, the path has been set, it is established, it is going forward. The battle may be so fierce, you know, it may take long suffering to overcome, yet our ways have been established by God. And the way is only to go forward. Go forward." Had they not go forward, they would not have experienced, you know, the Red Sea being broken in two or divided in two. They saw the miraculous because they stepped on the water. They saw the miraculous because they moved forward. They moved forward. By faith, they moved forward. Israel could not get their inheritance until their Egyptian bondage had been broken. And for that to take place, they needed to have a breakthrough. And that breakthrough had to take place, you know, right there, in the midst of that impossible situation. God may sometimes bring us to impossible situation. And the Lord will hear our cries. And the Lord's succor, the Lord's help will come right just in time, just in time. It's never late, never delayed. Always in time. When he sees everything in place, you know, for him to move, then he comes and helps us. So in summary, we must realize that bondages, we must start crying out to God. We need to wait to receive the word from the Lord. We need to have a fresh revelation of his authority. And we must be persistent in confrontation in the spirit. We need to pray, to pray, to pray. Isaiah 64 says, rend the heavens and come down. We need to pray until the heavens are rent in two and the glory of God come down. Let my people go that they may serve me. Are you free? Are we free to serve the Lord? Is our family free? Fight for your families. Fight for your families. I fought for my family. I fought for my parents' salvation. I fasted, I prayed, and God gave them. God gave them. We still have problems in the family, but we are all in the Lord. My parents are with the Lord today. My father said one time, after he got saved, after we baptized him, after Pastor Jim baptized him, you know, that how is it that it took him a long time to understand the salvation of Christ. One day we were going to our work together and he said to me, "What a joy it is to be a Christian." And I cried. stepping inside of us, and my tears were flowing down. I said, thank you, Lord. Don't give up. Fight for your family. Is your family free? God wants to bind the strong man that is troubling you. Your family. Is it the spirit of poverty? Is it the spirit of lust? Is it the spirit of immorality? We can take authority against the strong man in the mighty name of Jesus. After our bondages are broken, God can then bless and multiply. You know, when God spoke to Abraham after that supreme test in Genesis 22, he said to him in Genesis 22:17, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants. Blessing comes first before multiplication. We want to multiply the blessing. What are we going to multiply? Our bondages? No. We want to multiply our blessing to others. But before the blessing can come, deliverance must come first. Deliverance, freedom, blessing, and then multiplication. What are we going to multiply to the nations? What are we going to multiply to the churches? We're not a perfect church, but at least we are one step ahead of some churches. If you go to the churches that we are serving, you know, some of them are in a real mess. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, only by the grace of God do we stand. And we are able to help them and set things that are in order. Many years ago, I received a commission. The reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today is I received the commission of the Lord in Titus 1:5. What Paul said to Timothy, to Titus, the reason why I left you and quit is that you might set up things in order and that you might ordain elders in every city. That's why I do what I do. And praise God, my personal vision is attached to the vision of the church because God had already spoken to the church. This is what the church is going to do. When people come to you and say to you, give us what you have, help us. And then later on, God spoke to me. You know, this verse, I knew that my vision, personal vision, is linked to the church where I am serving. And those were the times when I was young. I knew. And thank God for the ability of the church and the willingness of the church to release me. I've been asked so often, you know, when I'm gone, who takes your place? Who preaches in your church on Sundays? And I said, oh, praise the Lord. Now, some of our best men are women. I have Sister Linda, Sister Seth, Sister Amy. Now we have Sister Cora, Sister Viola. Hallelujah. And squad pa lang ng babae yun. Kababaihan pa lang yun. Di pa natin binabanggit si Pastor Art. Pastor Mike. So I thank God for that. Hallelujah. And so we're going to see the powers of the strong one fall because it's God's time of deliverance and revival for the church. As darkness covers the earth in these last days, so the glory of God shall arise upon the church. And the word of the Lord for us today, let my people go, that they may serve me.